When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street, USA.
Rise and look around you, and you'll see who you are. On a clear day, how it will astound you that the glow of your being outshines every star. You feel far. Far and near, a world you've never ever heard before. And on that clear day, you can see forever and forevermore. On a clear day, look all around. Who you are. On a clear day, it will astound you that the glow of your being outshines every star. You feel part of every mountain, sea, and shore. You can hear from far and near a world never ever heard before. And on that clear day, you can see forever and ever and ever and ever
well, on a clear day, you can certainly hear Steve Lawrence swinging up a storm. Steve Lawrence, a much underappreciated singer and a great vocalist for Broadway tunes. Hi, I'm Larry Maslon, and welcome to Broadway to Main Street here on 88.3 FM WPPB, Peconic Public Broadcasting. Well, on a very clear day right about now, if you look very carefully along 44th Street, you can see the St. James Theater. And oh, what's there? It's a marquee, and it says, "On a Clear Day, You Can See Forever," starring Harry Connick Jr. This is the first major revival, revisal, I think is probably a more accurate term, of the Alan J. Lerner Burton Lane musical from 1965. And we'll talk a little bit about how much they changed from the original production. But I really want to spend the time today celebrating Alan J. Lerner. Now, Alan J. Lerner, one of the great librettist lyricists of the Broadway stage, and we all know his triumphs with Frederick Lowe, the composer, Brigadoon, My Fair Lady, Gigi, Camelot. But we're going to concentrate on the shows written after Camelot, after his partnership with Frederick Lowe, which contained many, many interesting shows with six phenomenal collaborators. So today is all highs but no lows, as it were. The last shows of Alan J. Lerner's two decades were sort of filled with disappointments at the box office, but I don't think disappointing artistically. Every one of his shows had at least something to recommend it, and many of his shows had quite a lot. So we're going to look at some of those shows. Alan J. Lerner obviously had a long career. He started in the 40s. He was Harvard educated. His father was a very wealthy businessman, and he always had a good way with a turn of phrase. In his early career, he worked with Kurt Weill. He went to on a show called Love Life. He went to Hollywood to write the Academy Award-winning screenplay of An American in Paris, and he teamed up with a wonderful composer who actually was a friend of Gershwin's named Burton Lane. Burton Lane, of course, wrote Finian's Rainbow with Yip Harburg. And they wrote the score, Lane and Lerner, for a wonderful Fred Astaire movie called Royal Wedding. And it yielded a lot of great songs, and one of the songs has become quite a jazz and popular standard. So it's never too late to listen to Mel Torme. So let's hear Mel Torme sing Too Late Now from Royal Wedding.
Too late now to forget your smile, the way we cling when we've danced a while. Too late now to forget and go on to someone new. Too late now to forget your voice, the way one word makes my heart rejoice. Too late now to imagine myself away from you. All the things we've done together, I relive when we're apart. All the tender fun together stays on in my heart. How could I ever close the door and be the same as I was before? Darling, no, no, I can't anymore. It's too late. Yes, it's too late. No.
Did you know Alan J. Lerner wrote the lyrics to that standard? Well, I bet you did if you're listening to this show. That was, of course, lyrics by Alan J. Lerner, music by Burton Lane. And that led off the 1950s, a tremendous decade for Alan J. Lerner, a decade that would far surpass anybody's dreams of success. In 1948, he wrote Brigadoon with Frederick Lowe. And of course, in 1956, he wrote the blockbuster My Fair Lady. Then he wrote the film score to Gigi with Lowe. And finally, in 1960, Camelot. A string of tremendous success, huge financial remuneration. Lerner was at the top of his game and really could have tackled any project he wanted to. The one thing he couldn't quite do, however, was rein in Frederick Lowe. Lowe liked to work when he liked to work, but after the success of My Fair Lady in particular, he was so wealthy he preferred to go to Europe, spend his time around the gaming tables of Monaco, and essentially went into semi-retirement. So Lerner had to cast about for a new collaborator, difficult to do when you had a composer who was so successful, both artistically and commercially. Well, Lerner was always fascinated by extrasensory perception, ESP, and he thought he could interest another person whose collaboration had gone to pieces, frankly, in 1960, and that was Richard Rodgers after the death of Oscar Hammerstein in 1960. So Lerner tried to get Rodgers interested in a project about ESP called I Picked a Daisy, and unfortunately Lerner didn't have enough ESP to know that he and Richard Rodgers would never make a good team. Lerner was indolent at best, often didn't show up for appointments, sometimes just left the country without telling Rodgers. Rodgers was pretty furious, so he left the project. But the good news is Burton Lane came aboard, and Lerner and Lane contributed a tremendous score to the show, which was now called On a Clear Day You Can See Forever. And this show was about a psychotherapist who had a patient by the name of Daisy Gamble, who came to him to learn how to quit smoking through hypnosis. But under hypnosis, he discovers that she led a past life in the 18th century as a very beguiling kept woman named Melinda. And basically the plot is that the psychiatrist, Dr. Mark Bruckner, falls in love not so much with Daisy Gamble, but the girl she was once a century earlier. Not a bad idea, not an uninteresting idea, a very theatrical one. And the show has a lot of sort of perceptive nods to contemporary life and things that are going on in the 60s. It originally starred Louis Jourdan, who had been in Gigi, of course, and the breakout star Barbara Harris. But unfortunately, on the road into New York, it ran into some trouble, quite a lot of trouble. The physical production was unwieldy, and Louis Jourdan really couldn't quite sing what the demands of the score required and got quite frustrated. He was replaced by Richard Burton's understudy in Camelot. Who was that? John Cullum. And Cullum's voice lent a tremendous amount to the score. So we're going to hear two songs from On a Clear Day, so you can judge for yourself how well Lerner and Lane work together. The first song we're going to hear is actually from the 1970 movie with Barbra Streisand playing Daisy Gamble, singing to flowers, which she sort of magically or extrasensorily can make grow from the ground almost overnight. And then we're going to hear a song from the original cast album sung by Clifford David to this woman from the 18th century, Melinda. Both songs are beautifully sung and give you the full range of this really fascinating score. So first up, Barbra Streisand.
Hey, buds below, up is where to grow, up with which below can compare with. Hurry, it's lovely up here. Life down a hole takes an awful toll. What with not a soul there to share with. Hurry, it's lovely up here. Wake up, bestir yourself. It's time that you disinter yourself. You've got a spot to fill, a pot to fill. And what a gift package of shower, sun, and love. You'll be met above everywhere with fondled and sniffed by millions who drift.
Why did champagne lose its year for me? love's haunting strain disappear for me. What could I do? She wasn't you. She wasn't you, and no vows ever chained me. No, she wasn't you, and goodbyes never pained me. Now I know why each affair always faded so fast. Only with you was I born to live. Only to you is the love I give. Love for as long as a lifetime can last. And no vows ever chained me. No, she wasn't you, and goodbyes never pained me. Now I know why each affair always faded so far. Born to live, only to you is the love I give. Love for as long as a lifetime can last.
Now you can't dismiss a score that sounds like that. Clifford David from the original cast of On a Clear Day. Great song. I'm surprised nobody else really recorded it, like a Sinatra or Robert Goulet. On a Clear Day did all right in its original production, enough to have a road company or two and to be sold to the movies in 1970. But it was nowhere near the kind of breakout hit that Lerner was used to with Frederick Lowe. And today we're doing all highs, no lows. We're going to do the composers that Alan J. Lerner worked with in the 70s and 80s. Alan J. Lerner always was interested in very strong central characters. Henry Higgins, King Arthur. You might sort of say that he had a penchant for European megalomaniacs, and his next lead character was like that, but a woman. Coco Chanel, the famed dress designer in Paris in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. He teamed up with the jazz pianist, composer, arranger André Previn, and he wrote the vehicle for Katharine Hepburn, who made her musical theater debut in the show 1970 called Coco, which was also a moderate hit. Katharine Hepburn's singing voice is not, shall we say, the height of her accomplishments, but the score had a really wonderful jazzy tone to it. And here's a number I think is pretty terrific on its own terms. When a young suitor comes to Chanel's boutique and is trying to drag his girlfriend out from the shadow of Coco Chanel. Here's David Holliday singing, "A Woman Is How She Loves."
To me, this emporium is sex in memoriam, where feelings are frozen and face lotion flows in your veins.
You're wrong.
I'm not.
You are wrong.
This kind of primping is self-service pimping. It's beauty by vendor, and nothing that's tender remains.
No, George.
It's true.
You're wrong, George.
But when the masquerade is through,
and you're alone with her, it's clear to you. A woman is not her dress, or if you see more or less, she isn't her coat or gloves. A woman is how she loves. Don't tell me how high her fashion, tell me how deep her passion goes. A woman is how she loves. That magic that leaves you weaker isn't from wearing chicer clothes. Clothes make the man make more money as fast as he can. But I'm not a fan. What a man goes to hell for, don't go to Chanel for. A woman is how she loves. What makes her an Aphrodite isn't the way her nighty flows. Why should I care if it's Cardin or Gucci or Lanvin or Pucci who makes what is left on the chair? None of it's even part of all that is in the heart of woman. What's a woman? A woman, a woman, a woman is how she loves. A woman is how she loves. Don't count on Balenciaga helping you sell monogamy. Dior isn't shy, he would like all the skirts raised up high. How grand, so would I. But who cares where the hems are if dismal the stems are? Woman is how she loves, but women who get too slender make it confusing genderly. Twill be ever thus, for some feminine reason, from season to season you dress for each other, not us. We're more than satisfied with someone who's lined inside with woman. Lots of woman, a woman.
Well, I don't know about you, but I think that's a pretty swinging song. And if you can stomach the dash of misogyny that sometimes happens in Lerner's lyrics, I think it's a pretty great song. Coco was a reasonable success based largely on Katharine Hepburn's appearance in it. It's a famous story that Lerner always liked booking his shows when possible into the Mark Hellinger Theater, which is now the Times Square Church, but was a major musical theater in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And when Katharine Hepburn was performing in Coco, her big 11 o'clock number on Wednesdays, so that would have been what? Her 11 o'clock number on a Wednesday would have been about 4:30, was always drowned out by construction across the street. So in her own way, her own sort of independent way, she went out and she met with the construction foreman and got an agreement that they would stop construction during her big number on Wednesday matinee days. A strong-headed person, as indeed was Alan J. Lerner. Well, Lerner was not to be deterred by the medium success of Coco. He went on to try to work on one of the more difficult musical adaptations, I think, ever. And the guy who proved to the world that you could turn Pygmalion into a musical went on to try to prove that you could turn Vladimir Nabokov's Lolita into a musical. In the early 60s, this scandalous, successful book was turned into an excellent film by Stanley Kubrick. And Lerner thought that there was something in this tortured love story, again, with the European megalomaniac named Humbert Humbert, whose obsessive affection for the teenage Lolita drives him nearly to the brink of madness, might be an interesting musical story. I think he succeeded very well. His choice of composer was outside the box, a guy named John Barry. You may know John Barry as one of the great film composers. He composed the song Born Free and the score to Born Free and The Lion in Winter, for which he won an Oscar. But even more affectionately known, I guess, by fans as the composer of most of the major James Bond scores. So that was kind of an interesting collaboration. Vladimir Nabokov smiled on the project. And they wanted Richard Burton to play Humbert Humbert. obviously reprising his success in Camelot. He deferred or demurred, and the role went to John Neville, an excellent British actor who was actually a good friend of Richard Burton's and, fortunately, whom we lost in 2011. But if you have to try to get your way into Lolita, which is difficult material, the best way is to try to understand its hero, or its anti-hero, Humbert Humbert. And in the beginning of the first act, he has a song that lets you know a little bit about why his view of love is slightly warped. It's called The Broken Promised Land of 15. This recording's a little difficult. It's actually recorded from the sound system of the Colonial Theater in Boston. But here's John Neville singing Alan J. Lerner's lyrics to John Barry's music from Lolita, My Love.
One day when I was 12 and 3, I fell in love beside the sea. We strolled, we kissed, we clung, we swore we'd love forevermore. In the broken promised land of 15, tears that fell upon the sand still are seen, and the memory of love is all that stays forever evergreen. In the broken promised land of 15, a child was she, a child in years, but who is not till love appears? And love had placed beside the sea an apple from the tree. In the broken promised land of 15, nothing love has ever planned answering. And in spite of all the signs along the road, the end is unforeseen. In the broken promised land of 15, not far were we from heaven's door when steps were heard along the shore. We turned, we gasped, she rose in fright and vanished in the night. And the tide that drifted in, circling me, tried to sweep what might have been out to sea. But the memory of love lives on and on, forever evergreen. In the broken promised land of 15, in the broken promised land.
Well, that was Humbert Humbert's establishing song in Alan J. Lerner's musical Lolita, My Love. If you're shocked to hear that he even attempted it, it may be because the show literally never made it out of town. It had a Boston engagement, was creamed, went to Philadelphia, and closed. One of the ironies about the show is the character of Lolita's mother, played in the movie by Shelley Winters, was played on stage in the stage version by Dorothy Loudon, who, of course, went on to great success 6 years later in Annie. But the way the plot works is that character dies at the first act curtain, and audiences loved her. And there was some talk out of town, people tend to get a little crazy out of town, that maybe Dorothy Loudon's character could come back as a ghost in Act Two, and people would be more amused. I don't know. Didn't help. Some great stuff in that score, but I think Alan J. Lerner's biggest flop of his career. Today on Broadway to Main Street, we're going to examine the latter career of Alan J. Lerner post-Camelot. Here at WPPB, 88.3 FM, also streaming online on PeconicPublicBroadcasting.org. Well, one of the interesting things about the American musical theater is when you have really intelligent people working on something, even if the show is a disaster or a flop or commercially unsuccessful, interesting people do interesting things. Smart writers, performers deliver smart things occasionally. And I think that was the case with Alan J. Lerner's next show. What could be more ambitious than a musical version of Lolita? Well, Lerner teamed up with a fellow classmate from Harvard named Leonard Bernstein to do a musical celebrating America during the bicentennial year 1976. And they decided to do a vast, kind of complex story of American history through the eyes of a dozen U.S. presidents, first ladies, and the household staff that worked at the White House, who were largely black, a kind of, Downton Abbey of American history, if you will. It was called 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and it had an incredibly rocky out-of-town tryout. People were fired, replaced. Bernstein and Lerner kept creating really good material that nobody really knew how to realize on stage. And it kind of came into New York sort of DOA. I think it ran about 2 weeks. And unfortunately, there's never been a cast album. There's been some of the music has been released in different forms, but the Bernstein Estate won't let us hear all of this majestic score, which I think is a mistake. But all the various first ladies were played by Patricia Rutledge, who listeners may know as Hyacinth Bouquet on television on her British series. But here's a recording of her singing the best-known song from the score in a live concert celebrating Alan J. Lerner, so it's close as we get to an original cast album. The song is called Take Care of This House, and Mrs. John Adams, Abigail Adams, sings it to a young black man who's the son of the servants working at the White House at the time. It's grand music by anybody's standards. So here is the major collaboration between Alan J. Lerner and Leonard Bernstein.
This one.
That was the very talented Patricia Rutledge, who you may know from Keeping Up Appearances in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Well, when I said earlier we would do No Low today, I actually kind of fibbed a little bit. I hate fibbing to a radio audience. But there was one project that Lerner and Lowe did do for the movies, an original adaptation of Antoine Saint-Exupéry's The Little Prince, another interesting European character that Lerner was drawn to. The movie's a mixed bag. It's got Gene Wilder and Bob Fosse and Richard Kiley playing the aviator who gets stranded in the desert and runs into the Little Prince. Here's the title number, sung not by Richard Kiley, but a frequent Alan J. Lerner collaborator, Robert Goulet, who, of course, began his career in Camelot, took on A Clear Day You Can See Forever on tour, and revived Camelot later in his career. I think it's a beautiful ballad from The Little Prince.
Little prince, from who knows where? Was it a star? Was it a prayer? With every smile, you clear the air so I can see. Oh, little prince, don't take your smile away from me. When you came, my day was done, and then your laugh turned on the sun. Oh, little prince, now to my wonder and surprise, all the hopes and dreams I lived among when this heart of mine was wise and young, shine for me again. Little prince, in your eyes,
After the film of The Little Prince, Lerner and Lowe worked together on half a project, as it were, bringing the film musical Gigi to the Broadway stage. They wrote a couple of new numbers, none of which were particularly distinguished, and the revival itself was not particularly successful. Lerner then turned to Burton Lane again, who wrote the wonderful music to On a Clear Day, for his next project called Carmelina. And Carmelina is a story of a woman who lives in Italy, who has a daughter, and the daughter doesn't know her father. She thinks it may be one of three GIs who are visiting her little Italian town. That sounds vaguely familiar, like the plot of Mamma Mia. It's actually sort of based on a similar source, a film called Buonasera, Mrs. Campbell. Carmelina was also a flop. It was misdirected. It was kind of the wrong show at the right time, I guess, a very romantic show in a slightly cynical time, 1978. But here's a beautiful trio of these three potential dads who come back to Italy and reminisce a little bit about what their life was and what may lie in store for them. From Carmelina. Another lovely tune by Burton Lane, probably the most successful collaborator with Alan J. Lerner after Frederick Lowe. Well, Carmelina was a flop, but Lerner kept moving on. He wrote an interesting autobiography, although it stretches the facts a little bit, called The Street Where I Live, a book about the American musical theater, and soon rolled up his sleeves in the early 80s to tackle yet another adaptation. This was of a Robert E. Sherwood play from 1936 called Idiot's Delight. Kind of fascinating play about world politics and love, very sort of complicated idea that Lerner brought up to date. He actually said it in the foreseeable future. And it's based on mistaken identity with a couple that may or may not have had a relationship in the past but meet each other under very strange circumstances in Switzerland. Well, he couldn't have been more canny for his musical collaborator. He picked Charles Strauss, who in the early 80s was pretty much fresh off his huge success with the score to Annie. And everything Charles Strauss touches turns to some kind of magic. Again, even on projects that don't work, I think great composers, great lyricists can turn out very compelling material. So the lead in this was actually played by Mrs. Alan J. Lerner, an actress-singer named Liz Robertson. And she was not just Mrs. Alan J. Lerner. She was the eighth Mrs. Alan J. Lerner. Lerner had eight wives. That's two more than Henry VIII. But here's the title song, very charming two-step title song from the musical Dance a Little Closer.
Dance a little closer like it used to be. I need someone warm inside my arms, so please don't whirl away from me. Dance a little closer, we don't have to speak. I just want to feel you near and softly hear you breathing on my cheek. While the music's playing, can't we both pretend? This is not a song for just a moment, but a song without an end. Dance a little closer till the morning light. I don't want to feel
Well, despite a charming song like that, Dance a Little Closer only ran one performance and unfortunately earned the name Close a Little Faster, which I think is undeserved. Lerner's skill at writing lyrics and writing 11 o'clock numbers is pretty much unequaled. We're going to go back to On a Clear Day with the wonderful Barbara Harris, who originated the part of Daisy Gamble, and we'll hear her problem, which is the man she loves, the psychiatrist Mark Bruckner, doesn't really love her so much as the woman she used to be in the 18th century. That's a pretty big dilemma for any heroine to handle, and let's hear how Barbara Harris handles Lerner's phenomenal words to it.
I don't see why they redesign me. He likes the way he used to find me. He likes the girl I left behind me. I mean me. What did I have that I don't have? What did he like that I lost track of? What did I do that I don't do the way I did before? what isn't there that once was there? What have I got? A great big lack of something in me that he could see then beckons to him no more. I'm just a victim of what did he love that there's none of? What did I lose the sweet, warm knack of? Wouldn't I be the late, great me if I knew her?
gives you an idea of the level of craftsmanship of the great lyricist and librettist Alan J. Lerner. There was a line in a later chorus of that song called, "Why is the sequel never the equal?" I think that's all a composer or lyricist wants is their work to endure. And I think Alan J. Lerner would be pleased at least that On a Clear Day You Can See Forever is back on Broadway. In Dance a Little Closer, he wrote a song called Another Life, which is sort of a late-in-life version of Wouldn't It Be Loverly from My Fair Lady. And I'm glad to see that Alan J. Lerner's work has gotten another life on Broadway where it deserves. Here's Liz Robertson from Dance a Little Closer singing Another Life.
The iron bed, the noisy hall, where every sound comes through the wall, the drafty room, the mended clothes, the window box where nothing grows, another life. I want another life with satin sheets beneath my skin, a maid who brings my breakfast in, and anywhere I never go. I'm someone who they wanna know. Another life. I want another life. Someone rich may come along and make a queen of me. Maybe there'll be three or four, but I don't care as long as there are closets filled with clothes to wear, with hopes to burn and dreams to spare. I want to live so near the sky, so high I'll never hear another train go by. Another life, there's got to be another life somewhere for me. Satin sheets beneath my skin, a maid who brings my breakfast in, and anywhere I ever go, I'm someone who they wanna know. Another life, I want another life. Someone rich may come along and make a queen of me. Maybe there'll be three or four, but I don't care as long as there are closets filled with clothes to wear, with hopes to burn and dreams to spare. I wanna live so near the sky, so high I'll never hear another train go by. Another life, there's got to be.
Well, where is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.